Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
However he grew into it, it worked.
It fits.
It fits well. And now Giannis gets to try on the moniker 2021 NBA champion and finals MVP. It's Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golic Jr., Trevor Scales, co-host of Sports Nation on ESPN Plus, kind enough to join us again here today.
Yeah.
And Trev, this is a rare one last night. We got plenty to get into today. We know you and I cover a lot of college football. So in addition to all the college football media day discussions, Texas and Oklahoma apparently felt like burning this whole thing down today.
Reset the whole news cycle for college football. That's fine.
So we will get to some fun news being reported out of Houston right now about some of the biggest names in college football. We will get to that. We will get to plenty of other tidbits from Nick Saban, million-dollar college quarterback. Quarterbacks, all this fun stuff that we dreamt up when NIL was born. We will get to that. But the NBA Finals gave us something last night, a moment that I feel like evades us a lot in modern sports. And I want to get to why that's important. But a reminder, do you own or rent a home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com, easy. And Trev, that was purity. Like, last night felt like pure joy. Everything we saw from Giannis, from this team, from the moment where you saw on the other side, Monty Williams, the Suns head coach, comes into their locker room. This series and the results kind of feel like Ted Lasso come to life. For a sports world that's been holding on to this pure thing given to us by fiction, we kind of got it in real life last night.
Oh, no doubt. Even the tragic hero falling in Chris Paul, right? Like, that's another element that, like, you root for him, but you see his demise ultimately play out, and you feel bad for him, but there are so many different things that we were there to celebrate, right? That, yes, the unbridled joy of Giannis Antetokounmpo was something to behold and something that we should all just really be fond of and just bask in the sun of, because, like, that's exactly what he's doing with this NBA championship. So fall right in line with that. But, yeah, everything just felt so storybook down to the tragic ending for the opponent there.
It was incredible to see, because I think in addition to just the pure joy that was there, we also got one of the rarest commodities that you can get. And I saw Bomani Jones tweet this. This is a hater-proof game for Giannis Antetokounmpo. Like, you can't look at this game and find anything to go back and slide on. He managed to do the thing that we constantly ask of our best athletes is, hey, go out there and manage to have your absolute best game in the biggest spot when your team needs it most with everything on the line. And I mean, we should all know by now, based on the sample size, how difficult that is to pull off. But Giannis went out there and made it look effortless last night. A stat line that included 50 points, 5 blocks, numbers that we have never seen. And we can contextualize that for you. But, Trev, it all leads us to an interesting place now, because we know this was a strange season. We know this was one of the more injury-riddled seasons and postseasons that we've ever seen. And so as we stare now from this platform here, do we walk into next year knowing all the things that are going to change with Giannis Antetokounmpo sitting there with 2 trophies after the game, talking to everybody about super teams, with him as the best guy? Is this the best player on planet Earth now?
So 2 things. One, you forgot the fact that he went 17 for 19 from the free throw line, which is...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that was the superpower last night.
That was the thing that you were like, holy crap, like, this dude actually can tighten up and do things in clutch moments. Second thing is, I'm not quite there yet, but we're splitting hairs if we're talking about the best player. We know that as an understanding, as a backdrop to this conversation. We are splitting hairs if we're talking 1 through 3 easily. You could probably extend that down a couple pegs with Anthony Davis and the like, right? All that to say, I'm still going to slide KD's way. And it's mainly because of KD feels unstoppable in a myriad of different ways. And they may not all be like just the gap being so large between him and the next best person at this certain thing when it comes to scoring, for instance, on a jumper, wherever he so chooses. Giannis is unbelievably better at like 1 or 2 things in the catalog of what it means to be a basketball player. So it is either the margin is so wide for Giannis in maybe two facets of the game, or KD is just better than you in just about every single facet of the game. And that's why I tend to slide over to KD's when it comes to the best player discussion.
You know, that was my first thought this morning was when I was asked this question, I was getting ready to go on Highly Questionable, and I was like, yeah, you know what? This still feels like a KD thing. Like, man, Brooklyn has a chance to make this all unfun next year when we go into this. But that was also when I realized something about us. Chinay and Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Is we're the college football playoff committee of deciding who's the best at stuff. Like, that's kind of how we treat all this. Meaning, yeah, we got a bunch of fancy numbers. Like, yeah, I can sit here and read you deep stats, win, yeah, shares per 48, player efficiency rating numbers about Giannis and KD, their comparison this season in their championship runs, all these different things. The bottom line, and you know this, when it comes to the actual college football playoff committee, is more often than not, it ends up being an inexact mixture of all those metrics. We got stuff we're supposed to work off, but at the end of the day, it's I know what I see. And more than that, the one thing I always come back to hearing from people is I look for what's familiar. I look for what I know, what I'm conditioned to understand is good. And I think that's the difficult part about Giannis is everything KD does looks familiar, right? Like offensive assassin here, give him all these tools just in a 7 foot tall body. It's insane. We've barely seen that part of it, but the way it comes together is familiar. Seeing a guy basically play point center is not something that I think we've had to deal with as much. And I think we went through a lot of this discomfort with LeBron as a pass first clutch guy early in his career when we talked about the Miami days, when we did a lot of this wailing. And I think it's coming up now because Giannis's game is a little bit harder for us to stomach because it doesn't look as familiar.
Yeah, there's a similar comparison you can make to Anthony Davis. Just doesn't bang as much. Like, he's not as physical as Giannis, right? Like, this, when it comes to 7 foot, like, as a center that can
facilitate. And a better shooter, right? Like a true stretch five.
That is one of those things that I could slide you towards to say, like, hey, maybe there is something that we could stomach his game with. But there is, to your point, no way you can conceptualize a man that takes three steps with one dribble from half court and is yamming the ball. Like, that's foreign. That is something that we're just never going to be able to wrap our minds around and not want to call it a travel, even though it is not. It is just too, right? Like, KD's game, again, easily digestible. Again, myriad of ways that he is unstoppable, but he's just one of those cats that's been given the benefit of the doubt, and there are so many things that we could point to and say, if it was just tweaked this way, this man would have had all of the accolades that we assign to everybody else. It was a shoe size in this past postseason run,
yeah,
right? Like, that would have given him this exact same crown that would have made it a little bit even more unquestionable for both of us, I believe, if he ends up in this chair. But again, if it was the fifth, we'd all be drunk. We can't go down that route, right? It is just a matter of one shoe size essentially dictates his legacy and his reception on the back end of this, but Giannis is undeniable, at least for his case, for making the best player of the league argument.
Yeah, I think if you're going to ask me gun to the head, like my house on the line stuff, I'd probably pick Kevin Durant going into next year, but I think what we've got right now is, at the very least, I'm giving Giannis pole position into the 2021-2022 season. I'm saying you get to start in front, and what happens there? Because the other thing and the craziest part about Giannis is, based on what we've seen already trajectory-wise, based on mental makeup, everything we see, like, he seems to be the dream superstar in the way he's motivated, and he's 26, I can't rule him out him getting better.
Dude, yes.
Like, I can't rule
that's
out
terrible.
Improvement.
Prime is considered 28 to 30, right? Like, that's when we're supposed to see the golden age of our players that we love and appreciate so much. And so, yeah, no, the sky looks up, and if he gets, like, a little mid-range jumper, he ain't got to go all the way back to three.
No.
I just wanted to be able to have one package to where he has one post move, because I think it was Charles Barkley who said to someone where you need two moves and two counters. If you can master those two, you good, baby. And he's got the two moves. It's blow by and spin move.
I remember us having those conversations, especially around the post with LeBron when he got down to Miami. Those were a lot of the same conversations. And now you've got a guy that's even more uniquely able to take advantage of that based on size. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. We can have a lot of conversation about that with Giannis. But he was also giving in front of the mic last night. Giannis Antetokounmpo decided not only was he going to be the best NBA player on the court last night, he was also going to be the best sports talk radio programmer. So coming up next, are we down with Giannis slandering the super team model? Did the rest of the NBA get a notice that they can copy from this Bucks team? That's next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Trevor Scales filling in for Chinne Agwumike today. And I can't get enough. The Bucks have been so giving. Your 2021 NBA champs of social media content. We will get to later. Giannis Antetokounmpo starting full-blown Bucks in six chance in the Chick-fil-A line. I saw Bobby Portis and Pat Connaughton just laughing their you-know-what's off when asked how much champagne they had consumed on the court after the game. Trev, the spoils of victory, I feel like they are really putting them on display. Like, normally we see these celebrations in some videos behind closed doors. We're all waiting to see if Bobby Portis can challenge J.R. Smith for parade-level supremacy when it comes to celebration style. So they've been very giving, and I appreciate that.
IG Live being the conduit for us having a window into the celebration, and thank goodness Giannis Antetokounmpo is a big IG Live guy. Like, he's here for
huge live guy. I had no idea.
Instant. Like, he's with it all the time. Like, it's apparently his thing. That's how he connects with the people. I'm not against it.
No, it's been incredible. From a guy who long ago used to dominate the internet with his food tweets when he first moved to America, trying different foods here, loving up on smoothies and all these different things. It's nice to see an amateur food blogger can become something so special in this world, like an NBA champion.
Humble roots. Yes, absolutely.
But Giannis isn't content just doing all that here. He got his sports talk radio on last night in the podium after the game. Because what's better than once you have the mic saying whatever's been on your heart for a while? And Giannis Antetokounmpo, the finals MVP for the championship Bucks, talked about doing it his way in the presser. Let's see what he meant by that.
This is my city. You know, they trust me. They believe in me. They believe in us. Even when we were like, we were lost, the city still was like on our side. And, you know, obviously I wanted to get the job done. You know, but that's my stubborn side. Like, it's easy to go somewhere and go and win a championship with somebody else. It's easy. I could go, I don't want to put anybody in the spot, but I could go to a super team and, you know, just do my part and win a championship, still won. But this is the hard way to do it, and this is the way I chose to do it. And we did it. We did it, man.
That's the champagne talking in a lot of those spots for Giannis.
Yes.
And I appreciate that because, Trev, I could sit here and kind of be cynical and say, you know, it's very easy to have this take once you've already won. We didn't hear a lot of this leading up to the game. But in your mind, as we look at this, do you think this changes anything for the NBA? Do you think the Bucks showed people anything as far as how you can win a championship in a league where all we'd spent the last year talking about was a super team? All we spent a lot of the last time talking about is the proliferation of super teams here.
No, because at the end of the day, the goal is conversation about your sport, right? Right, like whether it is good or bad, whether you're condemning the idea of a super team, which frankly, again, Giannis said it's easy to do so. I would argue that it's hard regardless, right? But like the immediate history even refutes the idea of the super team being the demise of the league because, again, Toronto Raptors 2019, before the world shut down, that was your last NBA champion that we could say, holy crap, they came out of nowhere. Like, that's a bunch of dudes and, like, Kawhi Leonard, right? Like, that was essentially the makeup of that team. So it immediately refutes the idea of the super team being the demise of the NBA.
Right, like, the 2019 Raptors, not a super team. You could go back, what, the 2015 Warriors? Not a super team here. Those Spurs squads, not super teams. On and on down the list, Dirk Nowitzki and the Dallas Mavericks. Like, we've seen plenty of this happen.
Yes, yes. And it's going to be really hilarious how we now deem, like, the big three when we were just trying to get Jrue Holiday and Chris Middleton to get with the idea of Giannis and just supporting him. Now we're going to consider them a big three because that's just how this thing works. Confirmation bias is a very real thing. And once you get that confirmation that they can show up in moments, you're going to now raise the expectations to levels that they hadn't seen before, and it may end up working out unfortunately for them. But regardless, yeah.
It's just a silly moving target too because, like you said, Jrue Holiday is a free agent they paid an awful lot of money for. He wasn't from there last time I checked. Like, we can go back, you know, Chris Giannis and Chris Middleton are the only two left from the really, really bad times when they first got here. There's all that. But I think it does kind of neglect because maybe we will see more people doing this going forward. But I ask everyone to look at what it took to get here right, with this particular guy. Like, you can say it with Giannis or Steph. So, like, all right, either go out and find the greatest shooter in the history of the league, who, hampered by injury earlier in parts of his career, makes it so that he's probably not a guy with the clout to be able to force his way out before things get good. Or Giannis, a guy who comes here, has to develop a little bit more as a player. We've seen the before and after pictures of him, the way his game has developed, and just in general, his mental makeup, a bit different than the normal superstar, who also happens to have some of the freakier God-given abilities on planet Earth. you've also seen, so you've got that on one side. Yeah, sure, going out and finding that. Like, this is a game where the biggest guns win, and so going to get the most at once is a very viable strategy for trying to win this, not just outlast like we saw the Bucks do. But we've also seen plenty of both fail. Like, look at the 76ers who have been trying to build from the ground up for a while now. Look at the Clippers who tried to do the super thing with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, who forced their way over there. How's that one worked out so far? Like, they've gotten something out of it, but it's not the returns you'd expect from a super team. Like, we let a few prime examples of both make us forget that the rest of what goes into a championship is really bleeping hard.
Yeah, like, and then you look at the other side of that where it's like Dame is out there ready to, he's about through with management, right?
Yes.
Like, and that is a person that we've crowned as the example, the textbook example of loyalty to a franchise, right? And it has gotten to loyalty to a fault at times where you look at that organization and say, there's nothing else for Dame. And as much as you love him in that city, as much as I love him in that city, there has to be more in order for him to reach the pinnacle of a championship because, frankly, it is just extremely difficult to get there.
Listen, loyalty is a great thing when you're loyal to the right people.
Right.
Like Giannis, this organization, they both saw enough in each other to make the right decision here. You can stay, there's bad relationships all over the world. You can stay loyal to the wrong person for a long time and end up standing there looking back at your prime years going, oh, damn, probably missed out on that. I didn't necessarily latch myself onto the best decision makers or the most committed spenders or a place that had an understanding coaching-wise of what to put around me and how to best maximize me. Like, we're asking a lot of guys to read the tea leaves on that. So, yeah, you might see some more people look around and say, all right, they really proved that you could do this. The rest of the league's also going to get better. It was a bit of an outlier of a year in a lot of ways. Like, there are too many variables for me to just say, oh, yeah, now we're done busting up the model of, wait a minute, let me check my notes here. Acquire really good players to win sporting games. The central premise of all of this. Like, I understand that it's unsavory when it gets to the outer limits of the Brooklyn Nets from this year, but man, just in general, like, that concept is pro sports.
Right, like, I think it's, we have trouble sort of just allowing the randomness of sports to kind of take place and appreciate them for each anomaly that they are, whereas I think in football there may be a bit more of a formulaic basis to what is a championship recipe, which is get a good young quarterback.
Yep.
Find a lot of talent to build around him and go from there. But even there, there's the anomaly that is the man that's 43 years old, still playing ball and just won a championship, right? Like, I think as fans, we could all take a little bit more understanding and appreciation to the randomness that this sports stuff is, generally speaking.
Hard work is awesome. Seeing it rewarded, that loyalty is awesome. It's pure. It is not something we can count on with regularity for all of the reasons that we just mentioned. Now, ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $700 on average. Call or click today to find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. Coming up next, we will dip back into, now, Giannis, when you start to look at the lists that he is on as far as accomplishments at the age of 26, you're not finding a ton of names there with him. What have we done for the Giannis legacy conversation after last night? We'll get to that after this word from Indeed. Now, the reasons to find your next hire with Indeed are starting to add up. Just look at the numbers. Instant Match matches millions of resumes in Indeed's database to deliver candidates whose resumes fit your job description. They have 135 skills tests that are going to go beyond just the resume, help you find the right candidates even faster. And, according to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers four times more hires than all the other job sites combined. So, if you want to multiply your employees and subtract the hassles of finding them, visit Indeed.com/credit. Back after this, Chinna and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chinna and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Giannis Antetokounmpo said, I did it my way.
Shouts to Frank Sinatra.
Who knew? Channeling a little Frank at the podium after the game here. Chinna and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr., Trevor Scales. Power your passions during Dell's Black Friday and July event with up to $400 off the latest Dell XPS computers and Alienware systems. all powered by Intel Core processors. Save on top brand electronics, plus free shipping on everything. Just call 800-BY-DELL. That's 800-BY-DELL. And Giannis gets to say that right now because he's the man holding all the trophies at the podium there, which got to be a cool feeling, having the Larry O'Brien and the Finals MVP trophy just sitting nestled right next to your person there.
Double-fisting hardware? That's not bad.
Yeah, no, I'm sure that wasn't the only thing they were double-fisting. That
there
looked like
is.
A very well-hydrated crowd there in Milwaukee. And so for more on Giannis Antetokounmpo hydration and what this means for the legacy going forward, we head to the Goodyear hotline to talk to our friend, ESPN NBA reporter. You see her on Hoop Streams and a number of other places. Cassidy Hubbard joining us now on the Goodyear hotline. What's going on, Cassidy?
Yeah, Mike, did Trevor tell you about our fantasy game on Hoop Streams?
Cass.
Oh, no. I need all of this now, Cass.
So we each drafted in a snake draft. Players in the finals, and we got points for points, rebounds, and assists. And we drafted before game one, so, you know, like, didn't know what the status of Giannis really, truly was going to be. So he fell to number two. Your girl got him.
Ooh.
Pretty much led the whole way, except when the crew cheated and decided to double their points.
Hold on. Oh, wow, Trev.
I didn't bring that up. I did not agree
Shameful.
To that. Hold on. Why is everybody coming down on me like I'm the producer? No, hold on.
Because Cassidy now. Won, so she gets to be the one saying stuff like Giannis.
You know what? All right, I'm going to just lay out. Go ahead, Cassidy. Talk your noise. Go ahead.
All I'm saying is that I ended up winning, and ask Trevor where he finished.
All right.
Trev, where'd you finish?
I don't know. We don't have the results from last night.
TBD. All right.
It might have been last. I don't know.
Wow. All right. Well, Trevor, since you have been shamed by this process and Cassie is now the champion, I'm going to direct my questions for great information to her, Cassidy Hubbard, with us on the Goodyear hotline. So, Cassidy, I know you picked him and got him at a steal at second. Does Giannis walk out of this series as the best player in the NBA now because of that?
Oh, man.
Yes.
This is what you're doing to me.
Yes.
Look, if we're going to just go by just facts, I guess he was the best player on the best team in the NBA because they were the champions, finals MVP. So the numbers are in his favor, but like that's not how this conversation goes, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of nuance to it. I don't really have an answer to it. I still lean towards Kevin Durant. And I know, you know, there's probably going to be some listeners being like, preposterous, you know, Giannis beat Kevin Durant. But I think what that showed us last night is that the league's in a really fun place. Next season, we're going to see hopefully, you know, more healthy players, and we'll get to see that title really be truly fought over.
Yeah.
You know, I think for a long time this has been LeBron James's league, and I now feel like there are multiple people that can take that crown if they want to.
There's no doubt about that, Cassidy. I mean, and Giannis in the post-game presser as he was celebrating his victory, maybe as the best player in the world, decided to take a shot at the model of super team. So where are you in the camp? Like, what camp are you in with regards to whether or not the super team process is ultimately bad for the NBA?
You know, I just want to, like, spin it more positively and, like, just look at just what happened last night with Giannis and what he represents being drafted by the Bucks and the Bucks doing whatever it took to build around him and commit to him. And I thought it was a positive story for the NBA. You know, we've been going in this direction where like super teams have been dominating the narrative of the league and most definitely the playoffs. And I just think this is just a positive story about, you know, this is also possible. You can also win this way. And so, you know, what do I think of the overall narrative? I think still people are still going to team up. But I, you know, we're also seeing more and more just guys being their own people, like Giannis. There's all this. There was all this conversation about, you know, do other players in the NBA not like Giannis? And like, it's not like they don't have to, like, you have to like a player, be best friends with another player in the league to respect his game. And I just think that Giannis, his amazing story, him making the promise that, you know, he was going to bring a title to Milwaukee, this season just being a war of attrition, I just think it was just a really positive story for the NBA overall than, you know, a diss to the super teams or players on the super teams.
I think we saw a lot of that this postseason. Chin Angle Jr. here on ESPN Radio talking to ESPN NBA reporter Cassidy Hubbard on the Goodyear Hotline. There was a lot of those, and certainly on the other side of the court here, the Suns were one of those great stories. Monty Williams and Chris Paul, that duo with Devin Booker, was one of those great stories. Cassidy, we've already heard a lot of reporting, though, about what the future for Chris Paul could look like, whether it's Magic Johnson tweets or Mark J. Spears reporting out there about what the Lakers might be pursuing. You think Chris Paul ends up sticking with this Suns team that became a pretty remarkable ride for us this year?
I mean, look, he has deep roots. You know, Monty Williams is not just the head coach to CP3. You know, he's family. You know, they express that a lot throughout this playoff run. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he stayed because of that relationship and because of his relationship with Devin Booker. I mean, the reason why he said that he wanted to join Phoenix was to play with Devin Booker, and he didn't just play with Devin Booker. He played in the NBA Finals with Devin Booker. So, you know, we can talk all day about, you know, how stacked the West is, how stacked the whole league is, and that, you know, it could be hard for them to get back there, but I don't think there is a surefire like favorite right now. I know people are looking at the Nets, but weren't they looking at the Nets last year and saying that, you know, things happen, you know, injuries happen. So I just that's my thought. Like right now I can understand if Chris wanted to stay there and not, you know, join his third team in well, it would be now, it was fourth team in 4 years. So I can understand that. And I think he's found a lot of success and a lot of comfort in being a mentor. Granted, there is LeBron James, you know, one of his best friends on the Lakers, but that'd be taking a whole different approach to, you know, where he's found a lot of success and really kind of changed his reputation, if you will, these last couple years.
It's certainly been a career renaissance in a lot of ways for Chris Paul in these last few years. So his presence, his future in this offseason, no doubt going to be one of the dominant storylines here. Cassidy, you're the best. We appreciate you giving us some time. Congrats on beating Trevor.
Good Lord.
Trevor, I don't even remember who you had. Who did you have?
Oh,
Chris
wow.
Paul, that you just showed a whole bunch of love to while you playing.
Dang. Well, you know.
Yeah.
Listen, you win
one
some, you
champion,
lose some.
One had a champion, the other didn't. You win some, you lose some.
Unless you're Cassidy, then you just win them all. Thanks, Cassidy.
I don't know about all that. Thanks, guys.
Check out Cassidy Hubbard again, our ESPN NBA reporter on Hoop Streams all over the network, always doing a great job covering the league. But coming up next, we were coming in here ready to just sit around and talk about media days,
yeah.
Coaches coming out here maybe being a little bit disingenuous with what they're putting in there. And then Texas and Oklahoma decided, no. Let's talk major conference realignment next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golic Jr., Trevor Scales here. Our thanks to Cassidy Hubbard, our ESPN NBA reporter, for stopping by
and flaming me.
Yeah, I was sparking it up and shaming Trevor Jesus. Scales on here for losing in an NBA player draft going into the NBA Finals. Giannis getting down to two is a good reminder because you guys picked a pool of players to try and have as your champion during the finals. You collected points for all the things that they would do. And Giannis got to the second pick, which is a reminder that we did not know what the hell we were going to get out of him going into the beginning of this series. That game one, he went from doubtful in the morning to playing at night. and the rest was history. It's insane.
D-Book went one. Giannis went two. I had CP3 at three, and it was, hey, we're not even confident that we were going to get what we got game one out of Giannis throughout the series.
Oh, man. Oh, how the times they are a-changing. And so, Trev, you took an unfortunate L there, too, and it was a hard thing to predict, but Cassidy had to let you wear it. The Big 12 might be getting ready to take a pretty massive L here. Like, we came into today expecting to talk about Nick Saban and million-dollar college quarterbacks and all these fun kind of things. And then all of a sudden, I saw this from the Houston Chronicle. Brent Zwerneman, who I hope I'm pronouncing that name right there, and apologies that if I'm not, put out a report in the Houston Chronicle that Texas and Oklahoma of the Big 12 have both reached out to the Southeastern Conference about potentially joining the powerful league. A high-ranking college official with knowledge of the situation told the Houston Chronicle on Wednesday. An announcement could come within a couple of weeks concerning the potential addition of UT and OU to the league, the person said, which would give the SEC 16 schools and make it the first national super conference. And if you're new to college football at all, if this is the first time you decided to dive in here, welcome. This is part of your initiation because every few years, we've got to talk about super conferences and major realignment. Trev, this has been like the boogeyman for as long as I can remember. And so it's nice to see it get a familiar stanza here now with the folks in Burn Orange and the Sooners.
Yeah, man. Like, and shouts to them for creating a little something in the news cycle that Lord knows we did not expect, nor did we think we were going to get to. But, dude, like, my first thought, why? What does Texas have to gain from joining a conference and becoming essentially a subsidiary when they are the team when it's the Big 12? And I understand Super Conference is a big thing. You want to just kind of get in where you fit in on those. But if you can start your own, if you're Texas, if you become one of two Super Conferences, why not try to pull something like that off, no?
Yeah, I think Texas is going to be the interesting sell in this spot here because they are the lesser football team right now.
Yeah.
And have been for quite some time. Like, we can talk about the brand of Texas all we want, but they've been in a conundrum for a while where we have the Texas is back meme, but nothing really of substance to show as we are getting ready to go from the Tom Herman era to the Steve Sarkisian era starting this fall. And then there's Oklahoma. Like, it's... This has been something we always talk about, this idea of super conferences, essentially weaning off some of the conferences that we've seen lose steam over the years. And we know the Big 12 was in some of these realignment talks not too long ago. And so now their name, Oklahoma, coming from a position of power, they'd be a value add to whoever brings them on. That's been one of the most consistent teams in college football, especially in the CFP era. Now, we have had potentially breaking moves going on with some of these best teams in the Big 12 maybe trying to skate to the SEC.
Breaking Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to linkedin.com/sports.
Worth noting, we did get an ask about this to SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey because we do have media days going on right now. He was asked about the Houston Chronicle report about Texas and Oklahoma inquiring about joining the SEC. He said, quote, "We are only worried about the 2021 season. Somebody dropped a report from unnamed people." You know what, Trev, I have no read on this one. I have no idea how this ends here, but I am glad for this little bit of chaos here. I mean, this is what Texas does best. They stir everybody up.
Right, just a little hot sauce into the pot when it's not necessarily known by everybody else involved that it was getting ready to be popped in there. Like, it was just the perfect amount of mild, unexpected chaos that, like, just kind of keeps this train rolling until we get the actual snaps being played.
The next logical step, and I hope someone's done it and I'm just missing the quote, somebody's got to ask Jimbo Fisher and the pokes at A&M about this, right? Because this is the other part of that situation of Texas A&M saying, we already did this. Big 12 to SEC is our thing. Us Missouri, leave us alone.
There's not a pipeline. No, we cutting it off. It was just us.
Do not pass go. Do not collect $200 here. So a little bit of anarchy introduced into the college football pipeline. We will keep an eye out on this one as this is surely just in the early stages of chaos. And there's a lot of legit reasons we can give you why this would be difficult no matter what they want to do based on the contracts already signed. But coming up next, Giannis Antetokounmpo is the man holding the trophy, but should he be the face that heads the league? Next on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.